The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. 6 days after Peter had confessed that Jesus was Christ, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make these three dwellings, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Peter did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. It was the end of one era and the beginning of another. Elijah had been an incredible, powerful prophet around the 9th century before the Common Era. He had been a bold prophet, willing to speak truth to power, willing to go before the seats of the rulers of his land to tell them that they were abusing the people, that they were not listening to God, that they were worshiping false idols and enriching themselves at the expense of the needs of the people. He even challenged them. And in an incredible affair where all of the prophets of Baal had gathered to make sacrifice to God, Elijah called on the one true God that consumed all of the false prophets. They were angry with Elijah, and he ran away to hide, but heard the still, small voice of God to assure him that he had done right by being bold and speaking truth to power. Elijah did amazing and incredible things. He called fire out of heaven. He even raised the dead. And the widow of Nain welcomed him into her home, and her son died. Elijah had that kind of power. But it was a new era, a new time. And Elisha was coming to be his successor, to be the prophet that would follow Elijah. Elisha was worried and concerned that he wouldn't be the same prophet. And because of the path that Elijah had trod, he felt he had to do even more to take it to the next level. And so he asked Elijah, "When you leave, can I take on a double portion of your spirit to take things to the next level?" And Elijah said, "If you see me leave, then you can take on that level of spirit." And so they were traveling, and Elisha did not take his eyes off of Elijah. He kept focusing on him. And they came to the River Jordan. And Elijah took off his mantle, the large cloak that he had over him, and he took it and he hit the water and it split in two, just like Moses, a symbol of Elijah's incredible power. And the two of them passed through. And then as they got to the other side, great chariots of fire came down from heaven, swinging low and carrying Elijah home. And Elisha watched, and he saw until he could see no more. And then he took his own clothes and he rent them in mourning for what was. And then in a verse that is not in the text today but should be, Elisha leaned down and picked up the mantle that Elijah had worn. He picked up the mantle and he went forward to be even a greater prophet than Elijah. With boldness and faith, even in difficult times, even when there was famine, even when there was no rain, Elisha went forward carrying the mantle of the one who went before him. We, as a congregation, are at a new time, a new era. Those who went before you did amazing and incredible things. When I read the history of this church before I interviewed, I was in awe at the amazing and incredible things that this church accomplished. I was in awe of what the pastors who went before me, what they led the congregation to do, and the way that the congregation really took hold and was bold and faithful. Things like the Swedish Relief Society, from the very beginning, being focused on helping people in need, and the vision of Capitol Towers. You know, you just look at that building and you think of all of the blood, sweat, and tears, the hours of work and labor that those who went before you put into building that amazing space. You look at this sanctuary. You look at the building next to it. You look at a place like Hands on Hartford that began as one of the Center City churches. One of the places that the church that Emmanuel was pivotal in forming, helping to reach out to those in need in our neighborhood and around us. And the gifts that were provided in all of this that allowed this church to make a decision a few years ago to be in the city for good. To recognize that this was a place with its heritage that mattered, but that you wanted to be here, to reach out to the Frog Hollow neighborhood, to provide programs like the Friday night program, like Sprout, like Church by the Pond, Manna Meals, so many things that you want to be a part of. And the incredible opportunities that were presented by using the funds that you got from the Capitol Towers to make this place accessible to everyone. It is the beginning of a new era. And we as a congregation have to make a choice. Do you want to take up the mantle, or do you want to ride the coattails of those who went before you? Because it is a choice. This congregation has an incredible gift in that endowment, because it provides opportunity for mission. It provides opportunity for outreach. It provides opportunity for us to be engaged in life-changing ways for members of this congregation and for those who are in this community. But it also presents some challenges, because any pastor will tell you, a church with a heavy endowment can create some serious problems with spiritual discipline and discipleship. The best analogy that I can use is someone who gets a trust fund. If you get a trust fund and you aren't spiritually mature, you can squander it and rely on it rather than building your own sense of accountability. and responsibility, and recognizing the importance of stewardship and the importance of giving of your time, your talents, and your treasures to take advantage of what those before you have built. The thing about spiritual maturity, and you're going to be hearing a lot about that from me in the next year. The thing about spiritual maturity is that it is for our own good. We're all going to be saved. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, forgiving the sins of all. That's a done deal. We're saved by grace, but we're disciples by decision. Deciding whether or not we want to take up the mantle of those who went before us. Whether we want to have the commitment to take the gifts that we have and be a change maker, be a change agent, take advantage of what God has laid before us. The thing about spiritual discipline, and in particular, the thing about being deliberate about how you give, is that it becomes an incredible gift during challenging times. I'm going to be a little personal now, but I think it shows the importance of that. I started tithing when I was 12, had a paper route. I gave $2 a week because I made $20 on my paper route. The reality is that that money is no more blessed than what I give now, which is a tithe of what I receive here. Anybody who knows anything knows that tithing isn't about who gives the most or who's more important or anything like that. It's about being deliberate and intentional, about recognizing that God has given us all that we have, and as we respond to it, we find peace and strength. I will tell you that I tithe throughout my entire life. It's been an important part of my life. I will also tell you that I was a single mother who never received child support. One point in my life, I was on Medicaid. And I also, at some points, was just wondering just how we were going to get by. But I never quit tithing. Because in doing that, I recognized that God was in control. I trusted God. I believed in God's faithfulness as a spiritual discipline. And that's important because it allowed me personally, when life was out of control and where things were difficult, to know the solid rock that I had. God love me more? No. God love me less? No. Did it change my salvation? No. None of those things. The amount that I was giving was pretty insignificant. But it was significant to me. Because I knew God was faithful. And I trusted in that. This is a tough sermon to give, especially when you've only been a pastor for a short period of time. But the neat thing about it is, I have no idea what any of you give. If you know anything about me, you know I don't care. You know that I don't treat anybody different. You probably have already figured that one out. But if you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable right now, it ain't coming from me. And if you're sitting there thinking, okay, I'm good. I commented on someone's Facebook page the other day, and they talked about something that they were purchasing. I said, the neat thing about tithing is when you do that, you can feel good about whatever else you do. I will never apologize for my European vacations. I enjoy them. I will never apologize for the fact that I'm doing something, because I know I'm building on what went before me, and I know I'm being faithful to God. Spiritual disciplines, prayer, worship, giving, discipling, They make our lives better. But as a congregation, we need to decide, who are we going to be? Are we going to step up for the opportunities that we have, the incredible gifts that we have to make a difference in this community by supporting our own budget and using the endowment to provide for mission opportunities that other churches would just dream about? You guys have no idea how fortunate we are. But it involves taking up the mantle and not riding on the coattails. And what happens in that? What happens is that as we become spiritually mature, people will say, hey, that's a church that's making a difference. And the gospel in this story is, first of all, that we're saved. But the other part of the gospel is that God wants what we have, and that God will take what we have, and God will use what we have to be a place that's a change maker. So today, I challenge you. Who do you want to be? You want to be a trust fund baby? Or do you... Sometimes. But you can be a mature one. Do you want to be spiritually mature? Because spiritual maturity doesn't mean that everything goes well. But it does mean that however anything goes, you know that God is with you. Because God is Emmanuel, and we are called to be Emmanuel in this community. Amen.